Good morning. My name is Raquel, and this is City Daily. As we walk through the season of Lent together, we are encouraged to join the generations of the church body that has intentionally emptied herself in this season through prayer, fasting, and giving. As we approach the celebration of the crescendo of our faith, the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus. The truth of the gospel is that before we put our faith in Jesus, we were dead in our sins. Not just sad and miserable because we made bad choices. No, we were in darkness, dead. There was no action that we could have done to revive ourselves. See, I've spent hours in trauma bays and resuscitation rooms of emergency departments, working vigorously to restore heartbeats. So, take it from me. Even in the physical, a dead man cannot perform his own chest compressions. He cannot shock his own heart. A dead man cannot revive himself. Thanks be to God for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that made a way for the resurrection of our own lives by grace through faith, not just to avoid the penalty of sin, but to conquer the power of sin in our lives. We are made alive as new creations, leaving our old and dead selves in the grave. This transformation is just the beginning of our communion with Christ. It is the beginning of a life of surrender to our God who revives our hearts and bids us to come and die. As we are being transformed into the image of Christ, it will cost us everything. Let's look at scripture. Luke 14, verses 25 through 35 says, "Now great crowds accompanied him. And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." These words feel harsh, and they are extreme. Hate my parents? Take up a device meant for torture and death? Jesus is saying here, hey, listen, before you sign up for this whole following me thing, I want you to know the cost. Can you commit upfront to the highest possible cost? Relationally? Physically? Before you even know what your personal cost in this life will be, are you willing to put it all on the line? Real discipleship, really following Jesus, requires us to renounce it all. Yes, it is a renouncing of sinful ways and habits. Yes, it is a renouncing of the idols that sit on the thrones of our hearts that steal our worship away from the only one who deserves it. Yet it is also the renouncing of possibly good things. Things good, yet that may hinder us from obedience to his word and running this race with our eyes fully locked on Jesus. The cost we count might be our reputation. It might even look like hate to this world, the world who does not know love until it knows Jesus. Jesus shares a parable in the Gospel of Mark. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. A man finds it, then in his joy, he goes and sells everything that he has to buy that entire field. He sold everything he had in joy for that treasure. For he who loses everything but has Christ has everything. Nothing can compare to the gain of having Jesus. Losing everything is a joyful sacrifice. He is our greatest treasure. I'm reminded here of a holy moment, standing face to face with my husband at the altar on our wedding day. Now, this was the part where my eyes were more than just a little misty. We had already exchanged our vows of covenant with one another, and as we placed our rings, we promised, "I give you this ring as a sign of my vow. With all that I am and with all that I have, I honor you." I remember that as I repeated those words, the parallel between marriage and our union with Christ had never felt so real. I vowed to give everything, all that I am, which is just a little life, and all that I have, which honestly isn't much. So yes, the cost of following Christ is great. Oh, but it is mere breadcrumbs compared to what we gain in return. May we not fear being left empty when we give him everything. He is better than anything we lay down. He will fill us. I will end with the words of Paul to the Philippians. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So as we begin, or maybe are ending our day, this Lenten season, let us reflect. The cost of following Christ is total in principle, and for some of us, it will be total in our actual lives. Have we counted this cost? Do we joyfully renounce everything for the sake of gaining Jesus? Do we fear the lie that we will be left empty-handed if we give up everything? Father, today in this season of Lent, we count the cost of emptying ourselves for the sake of knowing you. We count the cost and exclaim that you are worth it. Father, will you fill the areas of life that we refuse to surrender out of fear of lack? Fill those places with the truth that we have nothing to lose, but everything to gain in picking up our crosses to follow you. Amen.